Is there a song that when you hear it, you just can't get it out of your head? The expression for that is an earworm. It's a melody, a song, or a riff that just rolls around in your brain over and over and over. We're going to talk something about that today on the Covenant Weekly Podcast, Episode 21, Earworms. In 2016, researchers from the University of St. Andrews in Edinburgh determined a formula to figure out what songs are most likely to be earworms, these songs that get stuck in our heads. Now, which one of these songs would get stuck in your head may depend on what era of music you are most familiar with, but some of the top 20 earworms they determined were songs like I'm Gonna Be, or 500 Miles by the Proclaimers, and I would walk 500 miles. The Village People, YMCA was one. The Final Countdown from Europe. One that I knew had to be on the list before I saw it was Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down. You know that one? Journey, Don't Stop Believing was on there. Some of the songs that were not quite as old as those ones were songs like Pharrell Williams' Happy, or some of you may be more familiar with Mark Ronson's song Uptown Funk, or Taylor Swift's Shake It Off. The oldest song on the list, by a good margin, was the Christmas classic by James Pierpont, Jingle Bells. That was on the list. And there was one band that had three songs in the top six earworms. Can you guess who it was? Who had the catchiest songs? The band was Queen. They came in at number six with Bohemian Rhapsody, number three with We Are the Champions, and number one with We Will Rock You. Now, before you go off and listen to these songs or try to get them out of your head, there is a reason I'm mentioning this. Earworms are songs that get stuck in our heads and replay over and over and over again. They can be hard to get out of your head. But something like this, something getting in our head and replaying over and over again and dominating our thinking, that's not limited to songs. This happens with other kinds of messages too. I was talking with someone a while ago and they were in a new relationship. As this relationship was getting serious, this individual wanted a family member whose opinion they respected to meet their new beau and to give their input. So a meeting was arranged. At this meeting, this new relationship person met the family member and they had a good time together. After the visit, the person I was talking to told me that their family member affirmed that new person but issued them a stark warning. They said, hey, this new person you're with, they're great. They're kind and they're caring. They clearly think the world of you. But if you don't stop what you're doing, this relationship with won't last. This relative went on to point out that every time a compliment was given, the person I was speaking to, they would push back the compliment with a negative joke or by looking at them, so, well, that's not true. I'm really, and they'd fill in the blank with something negative. The person that I was speaking to struggled to hear a compliment because they had earworms. They had messages about themselves that they'd heard and rehearsed over and over and over again. Messages that got so stuck in their head that when somebody new came along and tried to offer them something new to hear, they struggled to make room for those new messages. Many of us have these kinds of negative messages that rehearse over and over and over again in our head that make it difficult to hear something new. Those messages might sound like someone else's voice, a mother, a brother, a father, an uncle, an ex, a teacher that we've had. They might say things like, well, you were an accident, or I wish you were a boy, or you're fat, or why do you look like that, or no one could ever love you. When we hear these messages, these kinds of negative things can easily become earworms. They get stuck in our minds and we rehearse them over and over again until they're the only thing we believe to be true. In religious circles, this can happen easily too. You know, growing up, one of the first ways I was taught to understand the Bible was through something called the Romans Road. Basically, it was a walk through a handful of verses in Romans that claimed to tell us the important things we needed to know about God and our relationship with God. And the first verse that started out this Romans Road was, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That verse and that idea of us being sinners who couldn't approach God was drummed into our heads as the foundation for everything. The next verse they went on to started with, "Oh, the wages of sin is death." Over and over again, we were reminded that because we are sinners and God can't even look at sin, and this righteous God must punish sinners with death. That was our posture. That was our connection with God. It was all started with that place. And that got fueled by singing songs like "Alas and Did My Savior Bleed," with a line that describes, in which we described ourselves as worms. This view of ourselves as unlovable rebels, worms who deserve nothing but death, was the starting place for learning about God and the world and our place in it. And that kind of message has it's a powerful earworm that can echo in our minds for decades, especially when we can't get out of that context and that message is constantly reinforced. Think to yourself for a moment. In your own life, what kind of earworms have shaped your life and thinking? What kind of message from family or friends or bullies at school, from siblings? What have you told yourself is true about you because of those earworms? And what kind of earworms have shaped how you thought about God and God's posture towards you? Has it started with sin and anger and wrath and judgment and death? These things shape us. Now, in the case of musical earworms, a 2018 article suggested 5 ways to get rid of them. These 5 ways included chewing gum. Now, that might work for a musical earworm, but it won't work so well with the messages we've received and rehearsed over and over again in our heads. A second thing to get rid of a musical earworm is leaving it alone. Basically, letting it stick until it just goes away. With messages about ourselves or about God, that's not a good idea, because those negative messages are actually harming us with untruth while it's in our heads, and it's not going to go away. A third way to get rid of a musical earworm was just to distract yourself with something else. I think this is a common thing that people do when trying to deal with those negative message earworms in our heads. You know, we don't want to face these ugly messages, so we just focus on something else and pretend that they aren't impacting us, thinking that they'll go away. But the truth is, they keep resurfacing and they keep impacting us in all kinds of different ways. The fourth way to get rid of a musical earworm is to listen to the entire song. If you listen to it and then you get to a resolve at the end, a musical earworm can sometimes be helped to get unstuck from our brains. That might be a good way to process negative messages we've received too, to actually stick with them and think through them. And sometimes it might even be helpful to have a counselor or a therapist to help us process them, because if we can think through them and process them, we might realize that the messages we've received from people, you know, they were coming from those who were clearly hurting. Like they themselves were hurting, and we might be able to realize that those messages weren't really about us and find a place of resolution. Theologically, if we engage with the error of those abbreviated and truncated ideas about God and God's view of the world, it might loosen the grip of those earworms, might bring some resolution and help us move past them. But the final suggestion to cure an earworm is to listen to what is called a cure tune. To listen to an alternative song or medley or melody that could get rid of the offending song. And that might be the best way to get rid of those other negative earworms too. If we combine working to a resolution and putting in these new, better tunes or messages in our head, that might be a positive way to move forward. You know, what if we intentionally rehearsed other starting places for thinking about ourselves, about God, and about God's heart for us, other messages? You know, when we hear the insulting negative voice, the one that insists that we don't have any worth, What if instead we rehearsed, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And that became what we rehearsed. You know, when we hear the message that tells us we're no good, what if instead we played out these lyrics? So God created humanity in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He created me. And God saw all he had made, and it was very good. And if we hear that voice that says we were an accident, maybe instead we could hear the voice that reminds us, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. When we feel unlovable or hear a message telling us that we can't be loved, maybe instead we could rehearse the refrain, I have loved you with an everlasting love. What if we reminded ourselves daily or hourly or constantly that nothing can ever separate us from God's love? Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Jesus himself was given this kind of affirmation and earworm at the beginning of his ministry when the Father spoke out of the heavens saying, "This is my Son whom I love. In him I am well pleased." You know, sometimes we think, you know, because Jesus was divine, he didn't need this kind of message. But to presume that is to forget that Jesus was fully human as well. He was susceptible to the negative messages and judgments that we are susceptible to. And he modeled spending time with his Father to receive divine affirmation and guidance. You know, I hope that the worst earworm you get in your head today is Gangnam Style. You know, that's number 11 on the University of St. Andrews list. But if you do hear those deeper and more toxic messages that many of us carry with us for decades, I pray that the true and more beautiful message of God's love for you and his value of you is something that you will be able to replay over and over again in your mind as a positive earworm that can help displace those lies that have been spoken over you. Please hear God's voice speaking over you. You are my beloved child. In you, I am well pleased. You are my beloved child. In you, I am well pleased. As we move quickly towards the summer, this is going to be the final Covenant Weekly until after the summer. I will likely send out reminders and update messages in the coming weeks and months, but in terms of a podcast or Covenant Weekly, this is the final one for a while. I will assess the podcast versus maybe going back to something in written format as we move towards the fall, and we'll see what works best moving forward. If you have any feedback in that regard, please don't hesitate to let me know. Looking ahead, we have a lot going on in the next few weeks. On June 19th, we and our service are going to have a refugee sponsorship focus. That's going to include a special refugee fund offering. So far, we have $5,257 that's been donated towards the refugee fund. That's over 1/8 of our goal towards $40,000. If we can reach $40,000 by June 26th, I have committed to shave my beard. Also, on June 19th, there's going to be Father's Day stuff, and we're going to hear about and pray for Camp Kakwa's summer ministry. So it's going to be a very full Sunday morning. The week after, on June 26th, we're going to be doing an outdoor service followed by a barbecue. We're going to provide burgers for the barbecue and invite you to bring a salad that will be able to be shared with others. During the barbecue, we've also lined up a magician who's going to be kind of busking, going around to different groups and entertaining. And they are also a balloon animal artist to entertain us with that. It promises to be a really fun morning to launch us into summer. And like we said, it may even include a beard removal. During the summer, we're going to be doing a variety of things in lieu of our regular Sunday morning activities. Some of them are going to be on-site at the church, some are going to be off-site. We will get you a schedule before we get to the summer so that you can plan. Our hope and our prayer is that this time of doing different things together will help us connect in different ways with God and each other, and that it'll open us up to hearing from God as He affirms us and what lies ahead for us. Of course, a highlight of our summer will be our Inspire Makerspace Camp from July 11th to 14th. We have a bunch of kids registered and are expecting more. We have a number of junior highs that have registered to help lead that, and we would love to have you join in on what God is doing and will be doing that week. You can register as a volunteer on the event page on our website or talk with Brent personally. We are also looking forward to doing a baptism in the summer. If you're interested in that at all, please let me know, john@covenantchurch.ca. I would love to talk with you about that. I'm looking forward to the coming weeks and months as we engage together in different ways. You know, God's presence and God's voice are not limited to Sunday mornings, and they are certainly not limited to the structure that we use on Sunday mornings. I believe that God will speak as we are willing to listen, and God will offer us rest as we are willing to fall into it. I'm looking forward to this summer with you all. As you go today, may you hear God's voice speaking God's affirmation and love for you. May that be the earworm that you hear and you just don't want to get out of your head. God bless. Go in peace.